One of our TV listeners visited our services yesterday, last Sunday, and coming out of the door of the church, he said to me, "I've been watching you and listening to you for a number of years, and you've helped me. You've been a good teacher." Well, that's what I want to do. I want to teach. I want to be a pastor and teacher. I want to help you understand the Scriptures and the way of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we're not going to shout people into the kingdom of God. We're not going to sing them into the kingdom of God. We're not even going to weep them into the kingdom of God. We're going to preach them into the kingdom of God. That's right. The Lord hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And I just don't want to stand here and grab my ear and holler into this microphone and shout and scream and say old phrases. And I want to teach you what the Scripture says about God and about men and about Christ and about salvation, about eternal life. I want us to search the Scriptures, whether these things be so. And my subject today is the message of the early church. Now, the disciples and the members of the early church are our patterns, and they are our examples. These people were devoted to God. The apostles Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the apostle Peter, these men and their followers, the believers who believed as a result of their preaching, they were men and women who were devoted to God. They were cast out of the synagogues, out of organized religion. They were persecuted. They were hated. They were even killed for the gospel, but they were devoted to God, consecrated to God. And then they were devout in their worship. They were faithful in worship. Upon the first day of the week, the Scripture says, they met together to break bread, and Paul preached to them, and they continued in fellowship. They continued in fellowship and breaking of bread from house to house. And then these people who are our patterns and our examples, they were devoted to one another. They loved one another. They sold their possessions and gave to those who had need. The Scripture says they had all things common. When one part of the body of Christ was in need, the other came to their rescue. They wept with those that wept, and they rejoiced with those that rejoiced. They had all things common. And these people were dedicated to the preaching of the gospel, to witnessing, and to missionary work. It says they were scattered abroad, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel, declaring the good news. And they were doctrinally sound. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't go off into customs and traditions and all manner of things. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, and they did not shun to declare all the counsel of God, and they were examples. They were examples of faith, example of good works. They were examples of holiness. They were examples of honesty, and they were examples of godliness. These people were devoted to God. They were dedicated to one another. They were devout in their lives. They were people who were dedicated to preaching. They were examples. But here's my question. What did they preach? What was their message? That's what I'm interested in more than anything else. What was the message of the early church? What echoed from the pulpit? What did they preach when they gathered together? What did their preachers proclaim? Well, it can be summed up in one word. The message of the early church can be summed up in one word. And that word is Christ. Christ. That's what they preached. They preached Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ and Him crucified." In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, he said, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then Philip, in Acts the 8th chapter, it says, he opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached Jesus Christ. That was their message. Christ was their message. Listen to this in Acts chapter 4. The authorities called the disciples together and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus Christ. That was their message. And that's why they were persecuted, and that's why they were jailed, and that's why they were hated. And this is what the authorities commanded them not to preach, the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to Acts 5. They said, "Did not we command you that you should not teach in the name of Jesus Christ? But you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine." And Peter replied, "Well, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. And him hath God exalted to be King and Savior, to give repentance to Israel, forgiveness of sin, and we're witnesses of these things." This is our message, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want you to go back to Peter's message at Pentecost. All of you are familiar with it. Acts, the second chapter. You have your Bible there. Why don't you turn to the second chapter of Acts, and let's see an example of the preaching of the early disciples, an example of the preaching of the early church, the message of the early church. What did they preach? All right, let's look at Peter's message. In Acts 2, verse 22, he starts out this way, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Those are his opening comments. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God." That's where he started with Christ. This message started with Christ, and it ended with Christ. And it started with Christ, a man. A man. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Now, Peter knew that he was God. In fact, when the Lord Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter was the one who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was present when Thomas fell on his face and said, "My Lord and my God." And Peter was present when the Father spake from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." So Peter knew that he was God, but he started his message out this way, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God." They preached that he is God, but they preached that he is in every way a man in the flesh, approved of God, sent of God. Now watch the second thing. That same verse, verse 23. He said, "Jesus Christ, a man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved of God by miracles and signs and wonders, which you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge or foreordination of God." He said this, Jesus of Nazareth is a man, but he was delivered and he was sent to you, ordained of God. He was sent from God into this world. This man, Jesus Christ, whom we preach, in whom we trust, whom we believe, is a covenant redeemer. He was the Lamb slain from all eternity, from the foundation of the world. He is the one that God sent, and the one God ordained, and the one God appointed, and the one God approved. They knew and preached that Jesus Christ, in all of his birth, life, death, resurrection, and everything, all of it was ordained of God, promised of God, prophesied of God, and pictured of God in the Old Testament Scripture. That's what he said. What was their message to preach Christ? Jesus of Nazareth, a man, but a man ordained of God, a man sent by God. All right, watch the next verse. You have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They preach Christ incarnate, they preach Christ ordained of God, and they preach Christ crucified. Yes, the death of Christ was the wicked work of men, but the death of Christ is the will of God. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreordination of God, but you took him and with your wicked hands have crucified him and slain him on a cross. But the purpose behind his suffering on that cross was to die for our sins, according to the Scriptures. As Peter said in his epistle, we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What did the early church preach? What was their message? the man Christ Jesus, the God-man, God in human flesh, God incarnate, yes, as simply as I can state it, as simply as I can put it, I believe that Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, who worked in a carpenter shop, who lived on this earth, who died on a cross, who was buried and rose again, is God Almighty in human flesh. All God and yet a man, the God-man. Divine nature and yet human nature. And that God the Father sent him. God predestinated his coming, foreordained his coming, sent him with authority. The Father sent him into the world. God sent his Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus Christ came into the world and was clothed in human flesh. And he actually died on that cross. He didn't fall asleep. He didn't faint. He didn't swoon. He died on that cross in a human body. And he died for our sins. He was our substitute. He was our sacrifice. He was our sin offering. He actually died. They took his body, dead body, down from the tree and wrapped it in grave clothes and laid it in a borrowed tomb. He died. That's just so. And that's what they preached. And then notice the next verse, Acts 2:24. They preached Christ resurrected. Peter said, whom God raised from the dead. Whom God raised from the dead. I'm telling you men of Israel, hear my words. A man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, foreordained of God, sent into this world, you with wicked hands have crucified and slain, but God raised him from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. He is alive. He lives because he is life. Now, Paul dealt with this over in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, if there be no resurrection of the dead, I say some among you, there be no resurrection of the dead. He said, if Christ is not raised, if Christ be not raised, there is no resurrection. If Christ be not raised, our preaching is vain. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. If Christ be not raised, we are false prophets. If Christ be not raised, you're yet in your sins. If Christ be not raised, the dead are perished. But he says, now is Christ risen from the grave and has become the first fruits of them that slept. They preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, most of their persecution, especially from the Sadducees, came because of their preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Most of their persecution came because they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But they didn't stop there. Look at verse 36. This is all one message by the Apostle Peter at Pentecost. An example of what they preached, their message. He said in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. This is our message. Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation. All things were made by him, for him, through him. He has preeminence over all things. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. All authority, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is the Lord of the living and the dead. He died that he might be Lord of the living and the dead. He is the Lord of life. As the Father hath life in himself, even so hath the Son of God hath life in himself, and he hath quickened whom he will. He's the Lord of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. And he's the Lord over all flesh. He said, thou hast given me power over all flesh. This is what Peter said. That man who was born of Mary and walked the streets of Jerusalem and the shores of the Galilee, that man was ordained of God, approved of God, predestinated of God, and sent into this world. He is God in human flesh. And you crucified him and nailed him to a cross, but God raised him from the dead. And when God raised him from the dead, God declared to this whole world that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ, that all things are in his hands. All judgment, all authority, all salvation, all life, all creation, all power, all authority, everything is in Christ. And one day, God hath given him a name above every name, highly exalted him, and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's their message. And they didn't stop there. Peter didn't quit there. In verse 38, he commanded faith in Christ. He commanded repentance toward God and a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. They said, well, what are we going to do, men and brethren? What are we going to do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what they preached about Christ. And they commanded and demanded faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you another example of what they preached, the message of the early church. Peter was up on the housetop one day, and some men came to his house, some messengers from a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius. They came to the house, inquiring to see Peter. God had sent them there. Well, before Peter came downstairs and greeted these Gentiles, God spoke to Peter in a vision. He sent down a sheet with all kinds of animals that were declared unclean by Old Testament standards and laws. And he said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Oh, no, he said, not so, Lord. I've never killed or eaten anything common or unclean. And the God said, don't call anything common and unclean that I've cleansed. Arise, kill, and eat. And about that time, they came up to Peter, and they said, there's some men here to see you. And he went down to them, and he said, where are you from? And they said, from Cornelius, a Gentile. And God spoke to Cornelius and said, send for you, and for you to come down there and preach to us. And so Peter went, having been taught of God that he was to preach the gospel also to the Gentiles. All right, he went down there. Now let's see what he preached. Let's see what was the message of the early church. When Peter visited the Gentile Cornelius in his household, sent there by the Spirit of God, this is what he preached in Acts 10:36. He said, the word that God saith unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that he's Lord of all. That was his first point. He said, the same message that God gave to Israel is the message he's given to you, and that is peace by Jesus Christ. Peace and rest and forgiveness and mercy by Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of all. All right, notice his second point in verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which Jesus Christ did, whom they slew and crucified on a tree. He was crucified on a tree as a substitute for sinners. That was his second point. All right, watch his third point. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And we are witnesses of his resurrection. What is Peter preaching? The same thing he preached to the Jews. Same thing he preached at Pentecost. He's preaching the incarnation of Christ, peace through Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of the Son of God. And then listen to him in verse 43 as he brings to a close this message. And to him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him should receive remission of sins. My friends, if we would be faithful to our God, if we would be faithful to his precious word, if we would be true to our hearers, if we would be sincere in our desire to see men truly saved, not just brought to join our religious organization, not just added as proselytes to our denomination, not just statistics that we report that we've won to Christ, but if we truly desire to see men redeemed and brought from death to life, we will preach what the apostles preach, and that's Christ and him crucified. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. For he of God is made unto us all that we need, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now in closing, every grace, you say, well, now the apostles preached Jesus Christ, him crucified, to sinners. They preached Christ and him crucified to people seeking life and seeking redemption. But what about teaching the church? What about edifying the people of God? What about exhorting the people of God to holy living and to honesty and to integrity and to righteousness and to love and all these other things? Did they also preach Christ when they preached these subjects? Well, let's find out. I'm saying that every grace and every gift and every fruit of God is understood and experienced in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way the early disciples preached it. For example, take the subject of love. Take the subject of love. We're exhorted to love one another. How? As Christ loved us and gave himself for us. John wrote, the book of John exhorts people to love one another. And John says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he said, he that is born of God will love. And the example of love is Jesus Christ's love for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But Christ laid down his life for his enemies. You see, that's the way they preached love. They exhorted people to love one another as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And even our Lord said that. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I loved you. All right, what about the subject of forgiveness? Forgiving one another. Ephesians 4, verse 30. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Because if you don't, you'll lose your reward. Because if you don't, God will take something away from you that's precious to you. Oh, no. He said, forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the basis. That's the motivation. That's what constrains us, is Christ's love for us and Christ's forgiveness on our behalf. All right? What about giving? What about preaching on giving? Getting folks to give, to share with one another, to help one another along the way, to support the minister of the gospel, those who are missionaries and other things. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, now you are bound in faith and you are bound in utterance and you are bound in all these different graces. See that you are bound in the grace of giving. All right? How is he going to enforce that? He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was rich, and yet for your sakes he became poor. He bases the motivation for giving on the love of Christ for us and the death of Christ for us, and Christ emptying himself that we might be full. Paul said this. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. The motivation for giving of myself and the motivation for living for God, I'm motivated because Christ loved me and gave himself for me. What about preaching the resurrection? What is the hope of the resurrection? What is the hope of eternal life? Christ said, because I live, you live. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, we'll be resurrected because Christ died and was buried and rose again. What about witnessing? Well, our Lord Jesus said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. It's based on Christ. Everything we do is according to our relationship with Christ. What about godly living? Romans 16. Paul said, in that Christ died, he died unto sin. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's your motivation. That's your reason. In that Christ died, he died unto sin. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise, you reckon yourselves in the same way to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. What about comfort? In 1 Corinthians 4:13, some of the people in the early church had died. And these people were so troubled and so bereaved and so filled with sorrow. Some of their loved ones had died. They'd taken them out to the cemetery and buried them. And Paul was going to comfort this church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him when He comes. For the trump of God shall sound, the voice of the archangel, and the Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven, and those which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together with those that sleep to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, He said, comfort one another with these words. You see what I'm saying? The early church preached Christ. They preached Christ. If they met a sinner who was seeking salvation, who was seeking redemption, who wanted to know how God saves sinners, they preached Christ. Christ incarnate, Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ risen, Christ seated, Christ our intercessor. They called for that man to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when the Philippian jailer came to Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in Christ. Trust in Christ. Commit your way to Christ. It was Christ and Him crucified. And then when they preached to the early church and talked to them about loving one another, about forgiving one another, about showing mercy to one another, about giving, about the hope of the resurrection, about holy living, any of these things, it was based on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that was their motive, Christ and Him crucified.